5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. We are ready to rock and roll today. We've got a Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. At 1:50, I give my picks between Air Force, Wyoming, CU, CSU, and UNC. We're staying fairly local on that. I decided to add Air Force to the mix because we had a lot of hooligans saying, why are you not bothering with Air Force? And I like watching Air Force. It's just it was a geography thing, man. I mean, but now, you know, I know I've got enough people kind of interested somewhat. You saw my poll, though, my Twitter poll. CSU fans blew up my Twitter. And then UNC. Then it was like Air Force kind of mixed in with CU. So, all right, that's fine. I'm still going to give my picks. We got Brian Howell coming up. I want him to convince me to take CU. I have not made my official pick yet. I have gone back and forth. Not winning. I'm not talking about winning. Covering, 13.5 tonight against TCU. So I want Brian to help me out. Brian's going to help me from Buff Zone. I honestly don't know, man. This is going to be a nutty pick. Either way, I try not to sound like a homer too much. You know, I try to evaluate each game and then not go with what I want to happen, but what I truly believe will happen. And that's tough to do.
It's funny how as the week starts, you're unsure, you're not really confident, you don't really have a lot of information. The week goes on, we talk to our insiders, we talk on Twitter, we, you know, get the feel for it. And then Friday comes and everything changes.
Everything goes out the window because you have to be careful here because you want to dial back your excitement level. Because I know Buffs fans are excited and they want to see, yeah, Susan and Cheryl are even pumped. It's going to be an 8 o'clock game. It's going to be wonderful. I'm watching football last night at Penn State-Purdue game. That was fun.
Two good games last night with them and then West Virginia-Pittsburgh.
And I didn't catch most of that, but
did you see the Purdue player that had a pick six?
The puke six
threw up on the sideline.
Yeah, dude. That was a fantastic game, but it was weird with Penn State though because their quarterback. So they just go up, they get up by like 10 or whatever at the half because Purdue's driving. Then they fumble it, and Penn State ends up. I missed that drive, but they end up getting a long bomb downfield or whatever. Tight end just takes off running, or maybe it was receiver. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And they go up two scores at the half, and then Drew Aller, they say, is out for the rest of the game. And so you bring Sean Clifford in, and he had a mixed bag. Some good throws, maybe some great throws, and he threw a really bad pick six. That was a bad throw.
Ugly pick six.
Terrible throw. And yeah, the dude that ran it back, I mean, that was a hell of a return.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think he was going to take it back all the way.
No, man. What was that, like a 60-something?
60-something yards.
That was amazing. And then they show a close-up on him. It's all Gatorade.
The entire shot was perfect.
At least it was all liquid, right? It wasn't like a gross, chunky vomit or anything. Adrenaline, worn out. I mean, just that had to be a hell of a feeling in front of all your fans. I mean, it's in Purdue, so Boilermakers were going nuts. That was a fun game.
Oh yeah,
that was a
lot.
My
family's big Penn State fans on my mom's side, so
they're happy.
Lions.
Yeah, you got a big weekend coming up. Are your families here? They're all going to what? You got the tomorrow. You'll be going to UNC Houston Baptist.
Yep, we're going to do the Bears Brews and Bites tailgate.
Nice.
Taste some craft beers, local food. That'll be exciting. Kick off at 2 o'clock, Nottingham. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited to be back out there again.
Should win. The Bears
win.
Should win. If they lose, Angel's pressing a big panic button on Monday, I think, right?
I'm not worried.
No, you're not worried. No. They got to win this game. I believe. So I'm reading the Denver Post this morning, and our friend Sean Keeler, he put out all of his picks. Not picks for the games, but like the records of the teams that we kind of, same teams we talk about. CSU, they didn't throw Wyoming in there. CSU, Air Force, UNC, and CU. And can you take a guess as to what Sean Keeler thinks the Bears' record will be this year? How many wins?
The Denver guy?
Yeah.
Say probably like four or something.
Four and seven. Yeah. He's got him going four. And listen, I don't fault Denver guys and national guys for that pick. because they were terrible last year. And a lot of drama, a lot of stuff going on. So, and they got a lot of freshmen, a lot of young players on this football team. A lot of transfers, though. They had to, because they lost a lot of players, so they had to get guys in from the transfer portal. So, Bears, Houston Baptist, that's going to be, what is Houston Baptist, what are they, though?
The Huskies.
The Huskies, okay. Should know that. I should know that. Do you know Tulsa's? Do we now know Tulsa's mascot? We should.
Golden Hurricane?
Golden Hurricane. No S in there.
Just the one.
Just the one Hurricane. That's Wyoming and Tulsa's matchup. What is the least? Is that the least exciting one of all of them this weekend? I mean, Air Force is going to roll over Northern Iowa. I mean, I'm not giving anything away there on my picks, because if you seriously think I'm going to pick Northern Iowa to beat Air Force, they don't even have a line for this game. This is a no-line game. So there you go. There's a hint as to one of my picks. But I'm not really that excited about it. So I don't know. It's between the Air Force UNI game and Wyoming and Tulsa. If Wyoming loses to Tulsa, which they could. They're at home, and they are 6.5-point dogs. So the belief factor in that quarterback is out the window right now. So we'll find out if Wyoming can bounce back. And listen, it was the Illinois game was weird. Illinois beat them outright. I mean, obviously, that was, I don't think Wyoming was really ever in that game. But they had some weird, silly calls from their coach. I mean, Craig Bohl had some very strange strategy. You know, I think late in the third, they fourth and like one on their own 49, they punt it, and then the next possession they're on like their own 48 and they go for it, but they run to the huddle. They don't even have a huddle, and they just quarterback dive, and it was a long 2 yards. Terrible play calling. So I'm not saying Wyoming wins that game by any stretch, but they might be a little closer than what that score indicated if some of those play calls are not don't go down the way they do. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Is CU covering? I mean, that's what I want to know. I want to hear from the hooligans on this one. Do you think that the Buffs can hang in there? It's 13.5 at this stage. Can they cover? Go ahead and shoot us a text on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Again, Brian Howell will be on with us today. We'll also have Jesse Kurtz at the 12 o'clock hour from the Mountain West Network. Fresno State just rolled last night. Mountain West has some decent games. I mean, Boise State, Oregon State. Interested in that one. Big time. Yeah, no doubt about it. Angel, let's get to it, man. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I mean, the good's pretty obvious. You had college football, meaningful college football, on a Thursday night. And I'm just going to say the game that I watched in Penn State and Purdue, that was a fun game. Back and forth, a quarterback change, lead changes, a puke six. I mean, everything that you could ask for in a college football game. So, well done, Penn State and Purdue. You kicked off I watched the Wyoming game last week, but it's weird. Last week just didn't feel like it was really, it had started yet.
It was the appetizer.
Yeah. Last night, you could feel it. I mean, watching that crowd, it was phenomenal. Football is officially back, which means we don't have to have a lot of these stories anymore. The bad from last night, the Rockies lost. they lost. Okay. Big shocker. I know. Everybody's like, what? The Rockies lost? 3-0 to the Braves. Spencer Strider. I've been calling him Aragorn. You get that one, Angel. You're the only one in this building that got that. Everybody else looked at me like I'm an idiot, which isn't anything new. Spencer Strider with the mustache. Yeah, that's my ugly. Is not him, but he had 16 strikeouts. Struck out 16 batters, the most by any Braves pitcher since the team moved to Atlanta in 1966. He allowed 2 hits in 8 innings. He got in trouble in that 8th inning, but he got out of it. That dude's I want Kyle Freeland to be that guy so badly. I want to have a pitcher that you just, dude, ice water in his veins. He can do anything, and maybe he will be. I don't know. You can't really use the young thing anymore with Freeland. We're getting past that point. So my my excitement level for the Rockies on a scale of 1 to 10 is negative 18. It's just, sorry, it's gone. There it is. That's the FMS Good, the Bad, the Ugly, presented by FMS Bank, Banking Made Simple. It was a big day in Broncos country yesterday. Russell Wilson signed his 5-year extension and is going to be a Bronco long term. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. I mean, yeah, there's a part in the back of your brain that goes, what if Russell's bad this year? What if Father Time starts to call Russell Wilson's number? I mean, it's not that far-fetched. We are in this day and age now, Angel. What is he, 33? I remember Elway played, I think Elway played till he was 38, I want to say. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, that's up there. He's played a long time. 38 was kind of, you know, stretching it. Maybe Elway. I think he still had something left in the tank, but obviously he goes out and wins the Super Bowl, and he was damn good in it. But listen, you're not crazy if you go, what if he's not good for 7 years? What if Russell Wilson is average? What if he's maybe good this year, and the next year he starts to fall back? You know, getting ready to be 34, and then you start getting to 36. Was this all rose-colored? I mean, was this all just a 100% no-brainer, had to do it? Did the Broncos have to do this? I think that there was pressure. I didn't know this, but I listened to the press conference yesterday, and it did sound like there was a little bit of a deadline from Russell's camp. Kind of like, hey, and I don't think Russell said this, but I think the feeling was, do you value me now? Let's get this deal done now. If I go through the season, that's how people are. You know, guys don't get that deal before they do whatever they're going to do. And then they look back and go, hey, you wanted to wait and see what I had. I don't like this. I don't trust it. That's not to say he wouldn't still have ultimately signed an extension after the year. But George Payton talked about a deadline. Felt like there was a deadline to get this deal done before the season started.
Yeah, going off of your first point of just not really knowing about Russell in this second phase of his career, as he said, you know, this next chapter for him. And I think the perspective is shifted and manipulated by the fact there's so many young quarterbacks in the league right now that are so good and just setting records and winning games. And Russell's kind of just, he's that last little fragment of this older generation of quarterbacks that are still there.
Yeah.
And he's being pushed into that conversation with Rodgers and Brady, not about their success, but about their age.
Yeah. I mean, and Russell's not in, as far as age, yeah, but he's not in that conversation, you know, really, with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. He had a window, I think, where he was, maybe for several years. Russell Wilson was, we considered him one of the best. Like, Angel, I've gone back and forth on this. You know my Hall of Fame is strict. I'm very strict on my Hall of Fame. And I know it doesn't matter because they're going to do what they're going to do. I don't think Russell, again, my rule is it's got to be quick. If I ask you if this guy's a Hall of Famer and you have to go, let me think about it, then he's not. That's the rule. And Russell Wilson is a let me think about it. He's close. Can he do enough in 7 years to put himself, I mean, if he plays out 7 years, he's probably going to put together some decent numbers. Odds are he'll be a Hall of Famer, even in with my standards.
Sure, you know, put up some more numbers, put up similar success rates in the next 7 years. Maybe even, I think even one title would get him in the Hall of Fame. With two overall championships, with two different teams, that speaks for something. And, you know, if you can have, you know, some success in the next 7 years as your career kind of just fades out, you know, I think you can make a case for it.
It is interesting how we hold different players to different standards, though. Because certain guys you just say are Hall of Famers and maybe they never had a Super Bowl. I think the sentiment is with Russell Wilson, those doubters anyway, including me, say, probably got to have another championship in there. Which is crazy because Rodgers has one. Russell has one. Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. But the numbers are there. He's always, it seems like the Packers are always close to the NFC Championship, at least. There is a weird way we do this. You know, you look at numbers, you look at wins, you look at big wins, you look at championships and all that stuff. Like, Tom Brady has it all, the complete package, the most obvious Hall of Famer in the history of the game. So I just, you know, you look at it and you go, he's close. He's close. You remember when the Broncos brought in Peyton Manning, and I loved this because it got me really even more hyped. John always said, Peyton Manning's a Hall of Famer. He's already one of the greats. What we want to do here is make him the greatest quarterback. That was the goal in John Elway's and Peyton Manning's mind, was this five-year stint could get you to being one of the greatest of all time. Now, it didn't work out that way. If they would have won, I mean, if you would have had to do what Tom Brady did. But if Peyton Manning, let's say the Broncos won three Super Bowls in those 4 years, which would have been rare, which would have been really tough to do. But they were close, went to one, lost it. They always had a first-round bye every single year that Peyton Manning was there. They were close. But if they would have won, let's just say, three, where would that have put Peyton Manning in terms of greatest quarterbacks to ever play? Would that have put him right behind Tom Brady?
I think so.
And he's there. Like, he's over the Montanas and the Elways and the, obviously Rodgers and all that.
I think maybe at that time, you probably could have considered him better than Brady.
I think that Manning certainly...
Brady was still two titles short of where he is now.
That's true.
And they, at that point, they were neck and neck with each other.
Yeah, because Manning has had two. You know, he won one with the Colts and he won one with the Broncos. He's been to four. He's been to four Super Bowls and won two of those. Where is he now? Okay, I know we're going off on a weird... But this is what... It's sports talk radio. You go places. You go down different avenues. Is Peyton Manning a top five quarterback of all time?
Yes.
Four? Three?
I'd be comfortable putting him at three.
Behind Tom Brady and where are we going, Joe Montana? Are we John Elway's in there? He's got two Super Bowls. He's been to a lot though. That's tough.
No, that top five is you got a lot of guys back in the 80s and 90s, like Marino, Kelly, Montana, Steve Young. Like,
what is the top five? Is it? It's Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, John Elway.
Dan Marino.
You're going to go Dan Marino?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of quarterbacks now. We've been spoiled. I'll be honest, man. We've been spoiled since Tom Brady arrived. We've slowly become spoiled with quarterbacks.
Sure, and they're just getting younger and younger.
It's crazy. I mean, this is the biggest crop, like the best crop of quarterbacks collectively that I can ever remember. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Russell Wilson, George Payton had a few things to say about that contract that's going to bring Russ or keep Russ in Denver for the next 7 years, 5 years added on to the original 2-year contract. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't forget, we got picks coming up. Everybody wants to know my picks early, and I'm not going to... I gave you one. I gave you Air Force. Congratulations. You're welcome. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Russ, you stole our poll question yesterday. How many Super Bowls are the Broncos going to win in the next 7 years? I'm saying two. I feel good about two. We had the same discussion with Peyton Manning, and we said probably said two in 5 years. It was darn close, except for the Super Bowl. The actual game against Seattle wasn't close, but they were there. They were the second best team in the NFL that year. And maybe if John Fox has a better game plan and prepares for a loud Super Bowl crowd. Who knows? Maybe that snap doesn't go over Manning's head, and the whole game is just turned upside down from that point on.
I remember, like, my heart sank at that moment. Like, I didn't even want to watch the rest of the game at that point.
I just remember hearing throughout the week, like, John Fox was asked about, like, should you be blaring speakers and stuff to prepare? And Fox said Super Bowl crowds aren't loud. I guess you can see his thinking is, like, you're not in the home crowd. It's not the home crowd.
It's also February in New York for some reason.
Yeah. So, but it was loud. Loud enough where Peyton Manning couldn't hear, or the center couldn't hear Peyton Manning. And Manning was a loud dude when it came to the huddle and lining up. Okay, read a couple of texts here. Noob, sure CU will cover. Yeah, their eyes watching the butt-whooping that's coming tonight. Ho-ho, Noob is on fire. It's good. It's good. It's real good. Eastside Chris. Brady, do you think Russ had a heads-up about the new Broncos ownership prior to signing here? Deepest pockets in the NFL, guys, contract. I don't think so.
There wasn't much discussion at that point when he got traded.
No, I don't.
It was still very much up in the air.
Russell was going to get that money from whoever he ended up getting traded to. I do believe that. We can talk about deep pockets and stuff, but that guy, I do think that Walton and all that, like, that's going to matter down the road, the deep pockets, the facilities and different players and stuff like that. I don't think that this contract necessarily makes me go, oh, well, this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't the richest owner in NFL history. Because that deal, we see it all over the league, these kind of numbers. Like I said yesterday, we go every other week, and it's like the biggest contract in NFL history, and we just keep resetting that every single year. B-Rad, Wilson's guaranteed money, $165 million, is lower than Chris Bryant's $182 million. Yes, and they may play the same amount of games in Denver. B-Rad. Dude, what is this, Top Text Tuesday suddenly?
We didn't do one this week.
Should we do it? It's Football Friday. I know I'm not supposed to, you know, it's like the upside down and Stranger Things here. But maybe we should, since we forgot about it. All right, well, let's see. I'm just looking up my rules from Cable's Pub and Grill. So today, I'll tell you what, $15 gift certificate. I don't have them on hand, so don't come to the station if you win. But I'll get them next week. $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. The three-peater, the first one that wins, $50. So if you win three, and then if you do it again, Cables is throwing this out, we'll give you $75. So if you win, basically, if you win two Top Text titles, you get $75 in gift cards to Cables Pub and Grill. Is that the text to beat? B-Rad's got to be the text to beat right now. He won it 2 weeks ago when we did it, and we just forgot about it.
That's a good start.
All right, well, so we'll do Top Text Friday as a part of Football Friday, since we forgot about it on Tuesday. B-Rad has the text to beat right now. Noob, bring it. Dixon, where are you? Eastside Chris, Mysterio, I want to see some good stuff here. It's Top Text Friday. Why not, Angel? Why not? 32 minutes after the hour, Brian Howell is going to try to convince me to take the Buffs tonight. The spread, to cover the spread. Not to win, right? Right?
I don't know.
I don't know. This is crazy. TCU's confused about their quarterback situation, too. And listen, I know they've got their coach from SMU, and he's pretty damn good, Sonny Dykes. I mean, he was 30-18 in four seasons with the Mustangs. So, but does it take some time to get that going? Trust me, my brain is going everywhere in this game tonight. 33 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Ready to rock and roll. A very busy Friday here for the station. We have football night in Northern Colorado coming up at 6 o'clock. Kyle Johnson will take over tonight in the studio, give you a score, a preview for the big game tonight. Also probably CU stuff as well. And then he'll have the halftime show scoreboard updates throughout our Preps football game of the week. So it's going to be a busy Friday. Cannot wait. And that game tonight is Orangewood Christian at Resurrection Christian. I think Orangewood is like a Florida team or something. So crazy. Joining me now is our Buffs insider from Buff Zone, Brian Howell. Brian, my man, I got to make my picks later today. I want to take CU to cover. I do. Give me some hope, Brian. Give me some reasons here.
I would have zero hesitation taking CU to cover. I think that spread is super high, and I actually think CU is going to win the game. So,
oh, Brian, I love it. I love it.
So, I mean, I would feel, I don't want to play with your money, but I would feel very confident taking the points with CU there.
Okay, listen, that's what I needed, Brian. I needed it. I've been going back and forth on this. I guess when I look at TCU, I know Sonny Dykes, good coach, SMU, won 30 games in 4 years or whatever. But I do just look at that. They have some quarterback questions, too. And we always say it with a new coach, regardless of who it is, unless it's like, you know, monster level, that it takes some time to establish. So I'm kind of looking at TCU, and we'll get into CU in a minute, but it's fair to wonder what TCU is going to look like for probably the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no question. And first off, keep in mind that I cover the bus. It's the only thing I've seen. So there's some Kool-Aid going on.
However, to the best of us.
your point is valid. And you look at Sonny Dykes' career, and he's been a good coach. You know, and I'm not knocking him at all. But to your point, you look at his career, and he has struggled his first year with the program. You know, when he was at Cal 2013 through 16, he was 1-11 his first year, and then they're better the next 3 years. SMU the last few years, they're 5-7 the first year, and then they're in bowls the next 3 years. So, and he lost his opener in both those programs. So there's a track record there that he stumbled out of the gate, and it's not just him. Like he said, I think it takes time to learn a system, learn a coach, and even though there's some positivity going on there, they've got to get together a little bit and figure out how to play together. And I think that's going to take some time. I think it's a great time for CU to get TCU. I'd rather have them week one than week eight.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with it. Absolutely, 100%. Because every time I look at it, I think, maybe he's going to make TCU a respectable program, a respectable team this year. But I don't know that it takes hold for the first couple of weeks, so this is a good opportunity for the Buffs. They have quarterback questions too. I know it's Max Duggan and Chandler Morris. There's another guy in the mix too. I read something, Brian, the other day that there might be we could potentially see three quarterbacks for TCU in this game.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, I think it's a two-man competition for them, but there is a freshman. It's Sam something. I'm blanking on his name right now, but that they really like as well. That is a different dynamic type of player. So Dykes has said all along, hey, we might play three quarterbacks against CU. So we'll see. You know, I was talking to one of the sideline reporter for this game this week, and she's like, well, I've got to kind of prepare for five quarterbacks because I don't know who's going to play between all these teams. So, yeah, it could be kind of a quarterback carousel tonight.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things right there that I'm looking at with TCU going, all right, maybe they don't know who they are just yet. As for the Buffs, Brian, who's the quarterback? Do we know yet, or we still got to wait until 8 o'clock tonight?
I think that's the question I get more than anything. It's probably the question Carl Durrell gets more than anything.
Oh, yeah, he loves it, too.
I don't know who it's going to be, nobody's really tipped their hand. We do know that both are going to play. Well, we've been told both are going to play. I'm sure Carl said that to you last week at the huddle as well. But my gut tells me Brendan Lewis is going to take the first snaps. And because I based off of a comment that Durrell made to us, that he said nothing was really done to justify unseating Brendan Lewis yet. But there's still a competition. So I think as the incumbent, Brendan Lewis is probably going to take the first snaps, but that we see a lot of J.P. Stroud as well.
It's interesting because I always try to read between the lines. Like last week when Coach is talking to us, when he says something about this quarterback or that quarterback, but He would be good in poker, I think, Brian, because I'm like studying him. I'm squinting my eyes, staring at him. I got nothing, man. I was going opposite. I was like, maybe it's going to be JT Schrout, but honestly, I have absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and I'm the same way because I've gone through this offseason thinking, I've projected all along, I think it's going to be JT Schrout. And then all of a sudden, they're not going to name anything, and you read between the lines of what he's saying. I'm like, I think it's going to be Brendan Lewis.
Yeah.
So, I don't really know. And from people I've talked to that have watched practice, they say it's truly a very close competition that it's neck and neck. And that there's been a couple times in the last couple of years, there's been competitions where they said it's neck and neck, but people I've talked to said it wasn't really. And, and what we saw throughout the season, it wasn't really that close. But this one I've heard is truly neck and neck, and that they just aren't sure which direction to go yet.
Brian Howell joining us from the Buff Zone. He's our Buffs insider. Brian, maybe if you can get your run game going, Alex Fontenot, I'm actually really excited about him. I know he had a good year, was it a couple of years ago? And we all know the story about Jarek Broussard. But this is kind of his chance to get all that back and be the guy. He kind of worked his way up to become the guy, and then Jarek Broussard did his thing. I'm really, really rooting for this kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid, too, and I'm rooting for him as well. I mean, this is a guy, think about this, he was teammates with Philip Lindsay here, and how long has it been since Philip Lindsay's been here, right? So his first couple of years, he's behind Philip Lindsay, and then they bring in a grad transfer from Virginia Tech, Trayvon McMillan, so now he's got to wait again. Then he finally becomes the guy, leads the team in rushing 2019. Then he has a hip injury, and Jarek Broussard comes out of nowhere. So for the last 2 years, he's sat behind Jarek Broussard. Now he's healthy. It's his last year of college. It's his sixth year, and he can finally be the guy again. I hope he stays healthy because I think he's got the ability to be a 1,000-yard rusher in this offense. And it has to start tonight because if you can control the clock and keep TCU's offense off the field, keep that air raid off the field, then you can have a better chance of winning that game. So I'm looking forward to him having a big game tonight.
Yeah, I think obviously he'll be key. Brady Russell, too, tight end. I mean, in a quarterback competition, or maybe when a quarterback needs to kind of get in the groove of things, a good running back and a tight end could be two of your best friends.
Yeah, and he's actually my pick for the Buffs Offensive Player of the Year this year. I think that he may not lead them in any of the categories, but I think he's going to be their Offensive Player of the Year because I think he's going to be such a key to what they do, and I think he's going to catch a lot of passes, and he's going to be real key in like the red zone and third down situations. As you mentioned, he's going to be a friend to whoever's the quarterback because I think Brady Russell is a matchup problem at times and has the potential to have a really good year.
I thought, and to it, on that note, with receivers and tight ends, I've heard you talk a lot about it. I've heard Mark talk a lot about it, and then Coach Durrell last week. The wide receivers, I mean, should we be paying a little more attention to this group? Could they surprise some people?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one thing about that group is there's so much focus on who left because it's big names like Brennan Rice and Dimitri Stanley and Levante Chenault, who, even though he never really did much here because he kept getting in trouble, he's still a Chenault, right? And so you see all those big names, you think, man, they don't have anybody over there, but they have a lot of talent. And there's some good young talent in that receiver group. I think the group, just the way they're coached and just kind of personalities they have, I think it's a better group than what they had last year.
Interesting. Well, and again, that's what I feel like I've been hearing that. I've been reading about it more. I know you've been writing about it and discussing it. So you're helping me out, Brian. I still don't know where I'm going. I got till 1:50. I got 2 hours to figure it out. But who knows? CU's schedule is really tough. You look at this game, man, this is an opportunity because it's 13.5, but it doesn't feel like 13.5-point spread. It does feel like it's more of a 3 or 6 or something like that. That's where it probably should be.
Yeah, it really surprises me. I know things are different, right? But you look at a year ago, number 5 Texas A&M comes into Denver. They're a 17-point favorite. And now you have a TCU team that, the Athletic last week picked them last in the Big 12. And they're coming in here as almost a 2-touchdown favorite. So that's kind of odd to me. It's very different scenarios. I get it. But that tells you what the odds makers think of CU. And I think they're downplaying CU a little bit too much. I think there's more talent than people think. They haven't seen it yet. So I think that's why they're downplaying it. But I think CU is going to be better than people think.
Brian, do you have any prediction for us, a score prediction or anything? What do you have?
Yeah, you know, I've gone with it all week. I'm going to stick with it. I think the Buffs win 30-27 in an entertaining game and one that gets the Buffs off to a good start.
All right, man. That's you gave me the information that I needed to assess here, and then I'll text you tonight if we win $1 million.
Yeah, and if you don't and it doesn't work out, you don't have to call me. Don't worry about it.
I won't, because trust me, I have steered people wrong way more often than not. We're hoping to change that this year. Brian, my man, love what you do. You got some pregame stuff for us. I know you'll have postgame and everything tonight as well. We can check out.
Yeah, you know, lots of stuff on this game. Obviously, it's a late one, so you know, they keep the paper. You know, it's not going to be in the paper tonight. It's too late, but lots of coverage online at BuffZone.com tonight and tomorrow.
All right, my man. Love what you do, Brian. Appreciate you, dude. And let's see. Let's see what those Buffaloes do tonight.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. All right, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. What do you think? Mysterious says, take the CU-TCU under plus money. Under. Under? So under? What is the over? Is it? It's in the 60s, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe not. Did I see 60 at one point? I thought I had it here. Brian's saying 30-27, which if you carry the 4, 57.
ESPN has the over-under at 59.
So Mysterio would be right if Brian is right.
I'd take that under.
I kind of like that under, too. I do. You don't know. Mysterio says FanDuel's 57.5. That would still be under. You'd still be under, according to Brian Howell. He made me feel, I don't know, I'm more confused. I'm more confused about it. Let me read a couple texts. It's Top Text Friday, by the way. We forgot about it Tuesday. Noob says, I don't care how many beers cable serves me. Shameless plug there. I would never pick CU. Noob knows this game, though. He knows this game. If he can throw in a sponsor, he knows that can edge him into this competition a little bit. So, good work. Good work. He said, Chris Brady, I don't think I can touch the B-Rad text. That was awesome. I'll just kick back and hope for the consolation prize.
Which is
the stapler.
Crisp high five.
Yeah, good high five. Mysterio, you know, this is one of those texts that could turn out to be like we go back and go, wow, you were 100% right. He says, I think CU is going to horn the frogs. Hey-oh, Mysterio coming in strong. On a Top Text Random Friday. Boom. Are the Buffs going to win this thing? Are we talking ourselves into a Buffs win here? What are we doing? I don't know. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't know what's in my head. I'm kind of torn on that, the CU-TCU thing. I'm also kind of torn on the Wyoming-Tulsa game that nobody cares about. Like, I'm interested in it because I have to make my picks. But I don't, that one's, Wyoming's a 6.5-point dog at home to the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. I don't know, man. That's tough. That's a tough one. All right, we got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to get into all things football. Not that we haven't already, but we'll start kind of looking at as the Football Friday kind of evolves through the year, we will lean on the teams that are drawing interest. You know, so if UNC's 0-4, we're probably not going to get a lot of Football Friday coverage. Wyoming right now, probably not going to get a lot of Football Friday coverage. This afternoon at 1. You got to earn your right to be thoroughly discussed on Football Friday. Angel, I think that's the truth. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. What are his thoughts on, well, Fresno State just rolled Cal Poly, obviously. some interesting matchups in the Mountain West. We'll talk to Jesse about it next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.